Just a moment you realize there will be many who fall in love with you. Jesus, tonight we decree, may there be many who fall in love with you. Jesus, tonight we decree, may there be many who fall in love with you. We read two scriptures. One from Old Testament and one from the New Testament. I want to celebrate the man over this commission, Pastor Edu Udechukwu. Let's put our hands together for what God is doing in his life and what God is doing in the Revival Hub. You know, these are the days of the beginning, and greater days lies ahead. How many of you know what I'm saying? Okay, I think we should do Old Testament first, and then we'll do New Testament. I'll say a few things. Let's see if we can finish earlier today. Reduce it small again. No, don't off it, we'll be playing, but okay, it's fine. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Let's read it first before you write. What you are writing is not important to me now, as it's not as important to me as opening the scripture. Don't worry, by the time I'm done, you can't forget this scripture all the days of your life. So you may not even need to write it, because it will remain in your mind. Okay, if we are there, I read. Now it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, he's talking about the church, be looking into your Bible as I read it, I interpret. Shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, that's the church, shall be established on top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. That means in the last days the church, there are seven institutions which will cause seven mountains of influence, and we've been taught that to take over dominion, to dominate the earth for the kingdom, we need to come through these seven spheres. They call them seven mountains. They call them mountains because they are pillars of society. Anyone that takes control of one, he can cause havoc. One of them is media, for instance. Anyone that is in control of media can cause, and as a matter of fact, media has more influence than many other things. One of them, one of the seven, is government. Anyone that is in government can do and undo. That's why Satan is always after power. What was the problem in heaven that they sent him out? His power. He came on earth, he's also after power. You hardly find somebody in power that is godly. And we have a church that are just praying. Nobody is in government. And we think the system is to be praying, that when an evil man comes on the throne, will pray him to die, because that's what a lot of churches are doing, that he will die. He's not going to die. God told me, I'm too small to come and start talking, and so, but I know what God told me, that the reason he took out Abacha is so that the church can learn. Abacha was taken out as far back as 1996. And for 20 years, the church has been unable to raise a man that will represent God. And now you want God to take this one out. No. This one stands as a judgment to the church that we failed in the area of politics and government. We thought politics was meant for people of the world. And so we left it for them. And Satan has made a mess of it. But then one of those mountains is politics, is government. One of them is business. That's why the man that is in charge of the world of business can do and undo. You know, if Dangote should preach the gospel, millions will hear it faster than Pastor Deboye. I hope you know. I hope you are aware. Because if he is the one calling a meeting, all the businessmen in the Navy will be in that meeting. They know that in this thing we are doing, this guy is the most successful as long as they are concerned. And I used to say, he can even ice it a bit. He can say, I'm coming, what's the largest place in the where can take maybe 1 million people at once? If there is any such place, you can say, all the businessmen in Nigeria, I'm hosting an event. I want you all to come. But you know what? I don't want you to spend your money. I'm going to send planes to all destinations. Just find the nearest plane. They will convey you to Nnewi or to wherever. Enter, there will be accommodation for you. And for him to do that, it's not money now. It's not money. If he brings out 1 billion, he can do that. But then, if you remove 1 billion naira from him, you have not touched his money. Yeah, he can actually dash you. And 90% of your prayers will be answered. If what you are praying for is what money can answer, your prayer is mundane. I keep saying it. And he can do it. And you see people. Now, you don't have to spend your money to meet Dangote. You don't have to do anything to meet him. All of a sudden, you see the hopeless is jam-packed. There's no publicity. Because the people will publicize the meeting by themselves. They don't need to print flyers for that kind of program. And then those millions gather. And Dangote stands up. He said, I want to tell you the secret of my success in business. I don't think he has to preach for more than 2 minutes. And kingdom is a kingdom. That's why there's this man jumping around, Kanye West. Very soon. Satan, because Satan does not. What I recommend is that if there are people around him, they should get him out of the stage and start getting him grounded. Because when Satan comes for him, he's one. He's causing havoc for darkness. This man enters the plane and turns it to a revival service. And everybody will be praying. Imagine it's Davido. That's why one of those mountains is arts and entertainment. You know, Davido can get more souls to God in 1 minute than any pastor in Nigeria. Anyone, I don't care who the pastor is. That's why. But if you look at some of these ones I just mentioned, that's where church has said, they taught us money, mammon. Right. Government, no, they are equal people. Art and entertainment, no. They are the ones controlling our world. We will die in prayer if we don't go out there. Anyway, now one of those mountains is the church, is the mountain of religion. I mean, look at Pastor Iya Adeboye. Look at Bishop Oyedepo. Look at some of the great men of God in Nigeria. If you hear that Pastor Deboye is coming to this town, for instance, you know there is going to be hold up in the hall of fame. There's something they have. It's called influence. That's why they are called seven mountains of influence. That thing that they have is power. You can use it for good or for evil. But this is what the Bible says. Because it's in reading Bible that will digress. I just hope I can touch what I want to say today, because I don't want to stay as long as we did yesterday. He said that in the last days, this Isaiah chapter 2, now I'm reading verse 1 again. Now it will make more meaning to you. He said that the mountain of the Lord's house, that's the church, that's the mountain of religion, the church. It shall be established on top of all the other mountains, and it shall be exalted above them, and all nations shall flow into it. There is a time the church will be number one, and everybody will be coming into it. That's the season of revival. We are in that season. But it has not started happening the way the Bible described it. It's step by step. I give you to the end of this year, you will see what will happen. I give you by half of this decade. This is 2020. By 2025, you won't recognize your country. Meanwhile, the next 2-3 years, you know, it's pregnant. A lot of things are going to happen. And a lot of people are going to die. Why some of you are afraid of dying is because yesterday I was in Omaha. They say they are doing, you know, people are running away. They are burying the Colonel's parents, and it might be a show. I said, I don't mind, I can arrive in the midst of that. They said, he that dwelleth, abideth under the shadow. You know what's the shadow? That's the glory. That's what he was talking about. If the shadow comes on you, one thing that happens is that nothing penetrates. They can shoot you here on that glory. You know, there are two things that can cover you. One is the blood. There's the covering of the blood. You know, that's what the people of Israel had. Okay, so the angel of death comes, he can't penetrate. But there's another kind of covering. That's the glory, my friends. That one is the higher. It's the highest one. Whoever God casts that thing on. Amongst many things, is that you walk in the midst of evil, and you are not evil sin. But this is what will happen. When that happens, many people shall come and say, maybe this is 2025. I'm just saying, I'm not prophesying. Many people come and say, come, let us go to church, to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. There is something we are going to do there. When we get there, he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Read it in your Bible. Look at your Bible. That is where I want to talk about. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk. So when he teaches his ways, we now know his ways. But we don't stop there. We will walk in his path. We now obey what we have been taught. That's walking in his path. I will stop there. Okay, I said I will read one in New Testament. So let me open the New Testament. That should be in Matthew chapter 28. First, I want to disturb somebody here. I want to disturb you. 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them. Now, this is after Jesus resurrected from the dead. He has died. At this point, he has died and resurrected. So, here now, he's about to leave to heaven. So, he has gathered his disciples. He's about to give them the last instruction before exiting. And this is what he said. He spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Everything, authority and power, is they've handed it over to me on the account of going to, and I know you know his movement. Jesus went on the cross. When he died, he went down. No, that's wrong. When Jesus died, you know his movement, he went up to heaven, then he went down to hell, and then he came back to the earth. You don't believe me? I can prove it to you, but let's leave it. But as we gave it to me on earth, it was the account of all those journeys that they gave him authority. Who had it before? It was Adam. But Adam took it and gave to Satan. But you know, Satan, like I told you yesterday, he doesn't come in through the front door. He said, my sheep know my voice. They come through the door. The shepherd, but the hireling, thief, he jumps in through the window. That's why he came as a snake. If he has come as Satan, Adam would have rebuked him. But he came like a snake, disguised himself. Adam gave himself. He held the authority until Jesus resurrected. He went and coveted it. Coveted the thing. It's part of after coveting it that he was living. The gates of hell refused to open. He said, and there was a voice, lift up your heads, that the King of Glory. He said, who is this King of Glory? He said, the Lord. There's something he says. He said before that, but let's leave that. So Jesus, and he said, of course, there's another thing he said here, but Matthew is not recorded. He said, now me, I'm giving you the authority and the power to do what? Now go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. 20. Teaching them what? To obey. If your translation said observe, it means obey. There's another translation that will say obey. Teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you. For how long? Always, even to the end of the age. The other one said, he will teach us his ways and will walk therein. This one said, teach them to obey. You know, yesterday I started talking about buying higher value with lower value. Use burn money, burn prayer, burn fasting, and get power. Burn this, burn. One of the things that needs to happen is that I know Chidema. If a guy, and I'm maybe sure, maybe a guy has started coming around to marry her or date her or whatever, and the guy begins to, because I was talking to a guy yesterday, when a guy comes, he has two missions. He can represent himself as if he has 20 missions. He can give you 20 options of what he wants you and him to do together. But there are 20 on the line. There are two. One, he needs a woman to flirt, or he needs a woman to marry. Before a guy moves to go and meet a woman, there is something that propels him. It is one of two things. It's either he has calculated that it's time to marry, and he moves. He comes to the girl, he doesn't even talk about marriage, but he knows what in his mind. He comes to the girl and disguises to be looking for certain other things, waiting, watching, observing, to know the girl that will be faithful enough who he can now open up his real intention. That's how they also come when they want to sleep with you. Tell you, they just want to be friends, classmates, field assignment together, just be friends. No sex, no touching. Don't worry. But this is my point. And they come to this lady, this fire lady, and they don't want to sleep with her. I'm sure she's not going to subscribe to that. I'm very sure. But you know what else I'm not sure of? I'm not sure if there are five other ladies, but there are 10 other ladies that know her that won't subscribe to the same thing. Maybe I won't subscribe to it. Maybe these five of my friends can. It means I am a failure. The goal of Christianity is not for you to be righteous. It's for you to get other people to be righteous. She must make sure that every other lady around her is living with that value, with that standard. She must bring them to the point where they understand. If you have this thing running, this place will be filled, even on weekdays. The reason all of you are here is because there is one man that wants to replicate himself in everybody. That's why you are here. The technology for doing that is called what? Discipleship. Now, I know our team in the power of his might. That's why I read Matthew for you. Jesus said, they gave me power and I give it to you to go and do what? To go and disciple the nation. Power does not hang in limbo where you go and connect it and start showing yourself. It has a lot of uses. One of them is to establish justice. Are you sleeping? Another one is to disciple. I don't think I'm sounding, but I don't know. Am I bored? You know, I don't, people don't sleep in my meetings, but maybe, I don't know. You shouldn't be sleeping. I'm saying something that can take you to hell. What I'm saying can take you to hell. Actually, you don't know that there are people that will go to hell, not because they committed fornication and all the other things, you know, because the day they appeared in heaven, they said, Lord, Lord, we have cast out demons in your name. We had power. We don't cast out demons without power. We have healed the sick in your name. That thing is not part of the general grace. You don't heal the sick. You know what it means to heal the sick? He said, they say, we have even raised the dead in your name. These guys have power. And what is the response of the man that sent them? He said, get out. I don't know who you are. What is the problem? What is the problem? And let me show you what the problem is with why he told them to go out. Which was that scripture? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. What verse? Let me show you that scripture, because there are pastors that will come there with results, with actual wonders, signs. And I will show you why they cast them out with another scripture. Matthew chapter 7, let's see 21. Not all who call me Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do what? Those that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. There is a will in the heart of God that needs to be done, and it is not raising the dead. And it is not healing the sick. It is not casting out devils. All these things I've mentioned, they are the things that are given to help achieve that goal. It is not even singing in choir. I hope you know singing in choir is not a service to God. You won't be rewarded for singing in choir. The day of judgment and judgment seat of Christ, and people are coming, and you come, and they ask you, what have you done? What did you do with all the talent I gave you? You're on earth. What did you do? You say, I was singing in choir. People were blessed. You're going to hell. You know, I did not know. No, I'm not making it up. I'm not making it up. The only difference between you and those that are iniquity is that you won't be in hell forever. They will take you to hell. And put Revelation chapter 2. I don't like making things up. Revelation chapter 2. Well, this one will take me out of my course. Find me the verse. Verse 1. Verse 11. Okay, verse 10. You are correct. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. This is Jesus talking. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. What is the problem with the devil? The devil just found some men who are out for his kingdom. So he's going to do everything. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death. Even if this thing ends up in death, God says, be faithful, and I will give you the crown of life. Not many people will get this crown. Not many people. Very few people will have it. And woe unto you, you get to heaven. and you don't have this crown, you will know it is not better to be in the street of heaven. It's more painful. Because the Bible says that in the judgment seat of Christ, and the matter here is not who will go to hell or who will go to heaven, that there are a group of people that won't have anything to show for their stay on earth. And he said the reward for that, there's no reward. And what will happen is that there will be gnashing of teeth. Is in this Matthew. I don't want to be going that line, but let me show you something here. And crown of life. So number verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes. This is those that the overcomers are those that will have result to present. That will have result. Father, I took 10 cities. That's the result. I took 20 cities. I took one village. It's okay. Just take something. You don't win a soul singing in choir. You don't win a soul doing ushering. That's just your obligation to your local church. Don't think because some stupid pastor is telling you that's how God will reward you. Don't think. There's no reward for it. But should we abandon that? No, we should do that. It's our obligation. From local church. Just here now. Imagine there's no usher here. There's no singer here. How do we cope? So if you can sing, make yourself useful here. But don't think that is why you are called. That's what is going on with gospel music. They don't know their purpose. So when they get to that height, they are confused. A lot of them are confused. They think it's by going for programs and collecting honorary and speaking in tongues and wasting people's time. None of them has anything they are contributing to the kingdom. All they have is that they are different from the unbelievers that are singing for Satan. But this is what he said. He who overcomes, those that will have results, shall not be hurt by the second death. There are two statements they always make. Second death, you know what is second death? When they will take people that are in hell now and move them over to the lake of fire. Why? Because God is not behind the hell. It's not God that put hell fire. I hope you are aware. Are you aware? It's not God does not know anything about hell fire. I can't prove that to you today. I will just tell you. You go and find that for yourself. That's not my message. Satan, when Lucifer, that's what we know him as, God, he's an angel of fire. He lives in fire. When the man was cast out, when he was cast out, part of the things he came to do on earth was to come and set up a habitation. While he was in heaven, he was living in fire. That's why the Bible says he could do worship with fireworks. This is the way God designed him, to live in fire. You are looking at me, but you are not hearing me. Help yourself, walk around. You're not hearing me. Now, when he returns here, he can't stay. He needs to be in fire. That's why he's living in hell. Okay? So he goes, he says of the fire. And he stays there. And so many people that have denied the way of God are joining him there. But notice something in the fire. It is only the men that come there that are under torment. Satan is walking freely. If you have gone to hell, you've had a revelation, you will see him walking with all his demons. I mean, and there are seven of them. He's walking with all his demons and doing all their this thing, tormenting people. It's even demons that are tormenting people in hell. He's in charge there. There's another fire God set aside. That fire can torment Satan. When they put Satan there, he will start burning like some way some people are burning. And that's why they said the people in hell now have not seen anything. There is another one they will see. And it's not everybody that is in hellfire that will enter the lake of fire. I hope you are aware. Anyway, I don't want to be going deep because I don't know the capacity of the people I'm talking with. Okay? When we say these things, they say it's not true. But we open Bible, you see it. Yeah. So when God talks about the lake of fire, there are two ways he talks about it. He says, and the second death, how did he say it? And those in hell will be moved to the lake of fire. This is the second death. You will see it somewhere in Revelation 18, here about, I don't know the chapter now. Okay? He will always tell you they will move. This one, you know what he said? He said, they will not be hurt.
they will not be hurt. What is the meaning of? Is this suggesting there are people that will be hurt by the lake of fire, by the second death? Not that they will be thrown in. They will not be. They will be hurt. What does that mean? There are people that will temporarily be put there so that they will be refined. You know, born there. When you have appeared there resultless, they will put you there so that you can be purified, because you are not fit to enter the kingdom. And it's for 1,000 years. Yes, it's for 1,000 years. What is your crime? You did not have any result to show forth on the day. So after 1,000 years, they will bring you out of there. But woe to the man that would not even accept Christ. I know you don't believe me, but let me leave it. One day pastor will teach it, and he will get there. But now, what is my point in all this? I got here by saying that your miracles and all that is not going to get you to heaven. Revelation 22. Father, help me. Revelation 22. I don't know whether it's verse 8 or verse where he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Who can find it for me?" I think verse 7. "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he who keep." No. "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." Yes, verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his grace." Eh? To give everyone according to his grace. To give everyone according to his songs. Hello? To give everyone according to his what? What does God call work? What does he call work? What does God call work? What he calls work is what he told them in Matthew chapter 28. And that's the work he gave them. And he knows everybody is going to be involved in that work. He said he comes with a reward. And your reward will be according to. Because when you are there raising cripples, when you are there doing that, it's the grace of God upon you that is working. They won't reward you for grace. Can you raise the dead? Me, I cannot. Oh. I cannot. But when that anointing comes, we can do so many things. They don't reward us for those so many things. Those things are signs to convince the heart of men that Jesus is real. After that, what next? Discipleship. You disciple people. You follow them up and you raise them just the way parents raise babies. You raise them up from their childhood. That is why, even though you have grown to a point where you are now faithful, you know, they said, what is the difference between faith and faithfulness? Faith means you trust in God. You can trust God. That's why you have faith in Him. What is faithfulness? Can God trust you? So even though I have somebody like Emmanuel, who has grown enough to know what is good and what is right, who has dedicated his life and committed his life to follow the principles of Jesus and to live according to the standards of the kingdom, how many people is he raising to be like that? How many people can be traced to you on the account of your discipleship with them? There are people God can use. That's what John the Baptist failed to do, and his head went for it. This is what God told Elijah to go and do. On the day he started saying, "God, kill me now." What was his instruction? Go and disciple men. That's the work. And that's what they will reward you for. So let me say it like this and round up. Because this issue, if I enter it, some of you might even start crying. Yeah, I cried. Early this year, we read Disciples Obey. And I saw a lot of reviews and all that. As much as pastor was doing making a lot of effort to send these things in. But I don't know if that was enough, because beyond that, you need your own
you need an encounter. This thing we teach here is not what gets people, it's not what gives people spiritual growth. Okay.
In John chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says, and Moses and the Lord came by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So there are two, when you come to Christ, there are two things that are offered. Number one is grace. Number one is truth. Now, Jesus represents two things. One is our Savior. Two is our Lord. So, when you come, our Savior is the grace side. Our Lord is the truth side. What is grace? Grace is the person of Jesus and the works he has done for us. All his suffering and everything he has done to on the account of his work to push forth all those benefits we have in the kingdom. What is truth? Truth are the teachings of Christ. So when you come, you see Jesus as your Savior. Now, in response to the grace of God, we respond to him by faith. So we believe in him. When I come into the kingdom, the first thing I do is that I believe in Christ and he died for me and all the rest of. So I respond to grace by faith. But how do I respond to truth? Obedience. Beyond confessing that he's my Savior and my whatever. So Jesus is the Savior, he's the person I believe in, but he's also my Lord who I submit to. He's the person I obey. Grace talks about the principle, the person, but truth talks about his teachings, the principles. So the problem we have in Nigeria is that there are a group of Christians that have taken only grace and thrown away truth. Professing Christians, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have been saved, my spirit is saved, so my body can be fornicating. It doesn't mean anything. Confession, they are not practicing. Because there are three levels of Christianity. We have the professing Christianity. This is the person that is professing. Professing. He's claiming everything that God has made available through grace. There is this second person that is practicing the teachings of Christ. The goal of Christianity is to get everybody to do what? To obey, to practice. To get every man to observe the teachings of Christ. To get every believer to submit to him as his dear Lord. You don't call him Lord and you don't obey him. You don't call him Lord and you don't obey his teachings. There's no such thing. Master that I don't obey. There's no such thing. If we bring out discipleship in the way it should be, we will save the entire nation. Let me give you some instance. They call us the salt of the earth. You know, salt is made up of two elements, sodium and chlorine. Okay? Sodium is one of the, is it 20 elements, I think 10, okay? But chlorine is a gas. Sodium alone is poison.
chlorine
alone, you inhale it, it's gas.
It will kill you. But when you join it, you will get salt. Grace alone is poison.
Grace. The grace of God. Only grace. We are saved by grace.
And truth alone is poison. You know there are people preaching only the law. The law.
God cannot accept you. You need to be righteous.
This is what the Pharisees were preaching. And when they see Jesus, they see he's fake. He's with Mary Magdalene. He's fake. Truth. You know, you start seeing people according to their works. You start seeing people in their weakness. You start judging people by what they are doing. That somebody made a mistake, you judge him. People should not enter the church because they didn't cover their hair. People should get out of the church. People should be suspended because they messed up a bit. You call people to the front of the church and declare them suspended. These are people struggling. And the person doing the suspension is also struggling, just like he has not fallen victim. But when you bring grace and truth, you get the full dose. You know the difference between them? See grace, see truth here, the law. The difference between grace and the law. I told you to go to Enugu and buy me a car. I don't give you any money. I don't give you anything. I just care. I'm your master now. So I just gave you the instruction. I said, get to Enugu and get me a car and bring it back. And you start going to Enugu. How you get to Enugu is not my business. How you bring the car is not my business. Whether you have money is not my business. I don't care. All I know, go and get a car and bring it back here in 1 week. So you now go and start trying to please me by yourself. But you see, Chris, the same assignment, go and get me a car. I give you money for the car. I give you money for transport going. I give you money to stay in hotel. I give you money for feeding. I also give you pocket money for your services. But both in the law, Old Testament, and in grace, there is an assignment to go and buy a car. The difference here is that why this one does not care how you survive, this one has made every provision for you to do the assignment. So you don't start saying, grace, grace, grace. There is no work to be done. It's the same goal. And it is that work you are going to be rewarded by or rewarded for. So you will see now there is something that looks like it, but it's not it. There's something going on now that looks like what Jesus asked us to do, but it's not it. Because what is that? There is discipleship going on, but the discipleship is discipling people to know. Do you know how many things you have been taught? This 50 days Pentecost, you have been taught all of this. Who have been coming here for the past 50 days? I know, I don't need to be here. I know you have been taught a lot, but see the commandment. See the commandment. What is it? Matthew 28. I've missed it. Matthew 28, verse 8. Teaching them to what? Obey. Teaching them to what? Obey. So, this is what is going on. It's not teaching them to know. In Isaiah, he said, we will be taught his ways. That's how we know it. And then, we will walk in his path. There's another kind of discipleship. It's knowledge-based discipleship. That's where they teach you to know. They teach you. That's what we are doing in church. We teach. Teach about grace. Teach about everything. Today, what is the sermon? We are teaching you a lot of knowledge, but little action. No action. He said, teach them to obey. Not teach them to
to know. The essence of preaching is that you will become. The essence of teaching is that you will become. When you become, the way I will know that you have become is that as about 10 to 15 of us are here on the account of pastor, I should see another 5 people that comes here on your account. Another 3 people on your account. Because you are discipling them the way pastor is discipling you. But the problem is that we have a kingdom where everybody is a patient. There are no doctors. 100 million Christians in Nigeria. How many of them are doctors? All they need is attention. Attention from one man of God. Nobody is getting any attention from you. How many people are you ministering to now? How many people are you raising under you? We have patients. Can you imagine a hospital where we have 1 million pregnant women and just 10 doctors? Nurse, 10 nurses to deliver 1 million people. That's what is going on in the church. That's why it's not working. Everybody was asked to be involved in this assignment. Only a few people are doing it. Others are following. It's not bad to follow because you follow to become a leader. That's the pattern. You don't just declare yourself a leader. There's a pattern to get there. What is the responsibility you are bearing for the kingdom? How many souls? Discipling. He said you should disciple them to obey. They should obey. If you read Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, you will see more than 30 commandments Jesus left. One of them is, if you go to the altar to drop your gift and you remember you have beef, leave it there. Don't take it back. Leave it for the church and go back and settle your beef. But you know what's going on? We have kept a lot of mangoes everywhere and we are singing in choir. See, the girl cannot obey simple instruction. The girl cannot just follow the rule, but she's singing in choir. You see the man, his heart is evil. He's after money. But he's a pastor. He's only interested in the people that will give offering. He's a pastor. One of those commandments, they said that poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's one of those commandments that say, if they slap you on your left, turn your right. There's one of them that said, blessed are those that are pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Matthew 6. After today, go and study it. You see, you ask yourself whether you are doing up to. Even there's one of those commandments that say, Matthew said, don't sleep with a woman. But me, I say, don't even look at her in your mind. But if you do so, you're already worthy of the sin. Have we not been doing that? Go and see the teachings of Christ. Whether you're obeying them, it's those are those he calls disciples. The people he calls disciples, I need to show you some scriptures. Let's even start from that revelation. Let's even start from that revelation I read. Let's listen to Jesus. Let's even start from that revelation. That 22, I think is verse 18 now. I don't know. This my Bible is not King James. Am I in the correct place? Okay, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy. Blessed is he that observes it, that obeys. Let's look at John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14. What did he say? 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21 of that same 14. It says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Look at John chapter 15, verse 14. He said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. All over the scripture, you see that they put a standard, those that do, those that do, those that obey, those that keep, those that follow. I can even show you more before I round up. I think this one, it was not Jesus talking. I think that was in First John chapter 2. Verse 4. He says, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth, remember, is not in him. Remember grace and truth. He has taken grace and left truth. The truth is not in him. Verse 5. He said, but whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know we are in him, if we obey him. He who abides in him ought himself also to walk just like Jesus walked. The people always say Jesus died as our savior, but he lived as our example. When he was alive, there was something he was doing. For every miracle he performs, there was a soul attached to it. Go and read it today. Jesus never healed anybody when it didn't have effect on the kingdom. That's what a lot of us are doing. We need power to just show grace, show power. You come for a service, there is nothing. You manufacture something. You have anointing now. You just manufacture something and start doing impartation. People know you can push people under power. You have power. Those things, that's why sometimes you need to get them. Are you hearing me? You need to get them. Like in your school, are you a student? You have graduated. Whatever, you're a student in your school, even in your place of work, or whatever, they ask you to minister. You should be able to minister and impart people. You can't confuse me with it. I see a lot of people running around church, that's all they have. And they think it's only talk, we don't have to talk. And sometimes, God has helped us. Now, sometimes, we decide, okay, God, this is the direction we are going today. And the same people will see something in the congregation and they say, Kai, man of God, you are blessed. The only respect men of God that can have people fall under power is small. It's an impartation. I can do impartation here and everybody will be seated. I can do impartation here and everybody is the anointing. It's the anointing. It comes like electricity. This hand becomes an electricity. It can shock anybody I touch. It's the anointing. That's one of those true riches. You get it, it can do a lot for you. But we do that, we see if it's bringing souls to the kingdom. In John chapter 9, Jesus healed a blind man and something from it. We discovered that even when they made a case out of it, they brought the blind man to his parents. They said he has not seen. And this is a young man. He should be in his 20s. Your child has been blind for 20-something years. And they brought him back
to show you that he is blind, to ask you if you can remember whether this is your son. These are the both parents. They say he's our son, but we don't know how he's seeing. They were not even happy. Why? Because nobody had mind
to challenge the Pharisees, and they had turned church into court. People are now in church, they can't talk. It's only the pastor is not the superpower. Nobody can say anything. You do anything, because they said in those days they fear that when they talk, they will spare you from the synagogue. Jesus looked at everybody in the synagogue. He knew that this blind man is the only person that can challenge this thing. It was only him and Jesus. Go and read John chapter 9. It was only him and Jesus that can challenge that thing. You know what Jesus does? He goes and opens his eyes and runs away. And the guy stood up and challenged all of them. And they sent him out of the synagogue. And he left on his way out. Jesus mocked him. He said, "Now, do you know me?" You know, whenever he wants to reveal himself, Jesus. Like on the day of the woman at where the woman was talking rubbish. The Jews worship in this mountain. We know what we worship. Do you Jews see that? Jesus said, if you know who it is that is talking to you, you will even ask me for the living water. Because this one, if you are drinking, you will still be thirsty. When I give you the one I offer, you will thirst no more. You say, give me the living water. And when they say, I know the Messiah. We know the Messiah. When he comes, he will do all these things he has said. He said, that Messiah, I am he. And the woman said, Jesus. That's how he appeared to the guy. He said, it's me. And the guy, in a whole state, in a whole nation, there was only one. That is why we heal the sick. Many of the people under bondage, many of these girls that are jumping around, many of them, you see that woman, they say she was a prostitute. They said she had 5 husbands and she was living with a man that is not her husband. She has divorced 5 men. She was a national prostitute. Everybody has slept with her. And she was still so beautiful. Men still wanted to sleep with her. She's like the woman in the book of Proverbs that's walking on the street. But in that woman, there was power to win a whole city in one day. Even Jesus could not. Even Jesus could not. And when Jesus had done it, the woman ran into the city and called the whole city. So people have the grace to summon a whole city, but they are living in fornication. But you, only thing you are seeing is their fornication. You have not seen what God has embedded in them. That is what Jesus saw. And he knows he is working with blind disciples. So he told them, go and buy me food. Go and buy me food. So they went to buy food. He knew the woman. And you know, when they eventually came back, Jesus had already won the woman. Did you hear what they said? They didn't say it. They were saying, what is he doing with this kind of woman? They would have spoiled it. These are pastors that they only see what the way you are dressing. They don't want to see what you carry. What you carry might be what they need, but you have been packaged in another way. The world system has deceived you, and all that. You are an Egyptian. So you came out from Egypt, but they couldn't see that this one is Moses. And when they came back with food, and the woman left, they're not getting the food. They say, I'm not hungry again. He said, what is it? Did the woman give you food? He said, no. My meat is to do the will of God. Discipleship. I just want a soul for God. That is my food. That is my work. That's why I'm called. No, we need an obedience-based disciples. And Jesus has conditions if you will be called a disciple. I've identified about 7. The pig gave 5. I've identified 2 extra. But I can just share some of them. There are conditions. You don't just wake up and say, I'm a disciple. I'm a disciple of Jesus. Because back then, they were not called Christians. They were called disciples. All through the Bible, you see disciples, apostles of Jesus, disciples. Disciple become apostle. When Judas hung himself, they came among the disciples and took one of them and made him an apostle. There was only one place, two places in the Bible, you see the word Christian. One is in Acts chapter 11. At some point, they are taking the disciples to Antioch. So when the disciples got there, they started a church. The Bible said that they have lived among themselves and they exhibited certain kinds of life that is not normal to a normal life. It's not normal. They created a world where people can trust themselves, where people love themselves, where people watch their back, that kind of world. When people survive together, it's not one man takes the money that belongs to the whole state and whom. What's that one thing you can do? And you will save the whole city. Discipleship. When we have governors that are disciples, corruption will vanish. We have politicians that are disciples, corruption will end. We have vice chancellors. Is it not in your school that your vice chancellor is sleeping with all the girls? And one girl I'm discipling, what she does, because I told her to leave the man. And she says, won't leave. I said, I won't waste my time with you. I won't waste my time on you. I don't have time to be following one person because I want to win a soul. I don't have that time. I look for those that are hungry. There are two things you should be looking for in the hearts of men. If you don't find it, give them space. So you don't waste your time. Look for hunger and look for body. They don't have burden. Then why are you wasting your time? You are trying to pluck a fruit. Have you tried to pluck mango? The thing is not ripe. It is hard. You want to cut plantain. It's not hard. It's hard. You want to remove papa. That is not ripe. It's hard. That's what you are doing. Allow it to ripen. It will fall by itself. You pick it up. Allow souls to ripen. How do you ripen souls? You subject them to prayers. You subject them to prayer. Intercession, intercession, intercession. One day that soul ripens and falls. Bam! You pick it up. Another disciple. How can you be wasting months trying to convince somebody? He's not hungry for God. He has nobody. Part of the things you should do is to find them, corner them to enter a program. Don't just be coming and be praying and you think God is happy with you. Don't just be coming, you are praying for your life, you are moving forward. You don't have anything you are doing for God. There's nobody God will say, go and meet him. Go and meet her. She will pray for you. All you are doing is that you need to take responsibility for souls. Right. So when we have disciples that are vice chancellors, your vice chancellor is in power. And what he is doing is that he's sleeping with all his students. His lecturers are following him. Umudike has been messed up. Umudike has been messed up big time. Of course, the governor is not interested in education or whatever is going on there. So if you are going to report to the governor, you are wasting your time. He's not interested. He's not even around self. He's not even around. He doesn't even stay around. He's always in Abuja. So there's a gross darkness in the school. And people are doing knifes. People are doing SUCF. There is no need for a church if the city cannot feel the impact. There's no need. Tomorrow is Sunday. You see all the churches feel. And one of my disciples, every day I ask, I'm going to church. Come, I'm going for prayer rehearsal. Yes, she's a lesbian. She's masturbating. She has demons. She masturbated and demons have filled her. One of the days, I was casting the demon. The demon opened his eyes and looked at me as if I leave, she dies. If I leave, she dies. The girl ran out of the service and I sent people to go and bring her back. She wanted to go mad. And I spoke to the demon. The demon looked at me and then she dies. And at some point, the voice changed though. The voice of the demon changed. I said, hey, small girl.
And I will talk. The demon will talk.
See, this is not working.
I said, me? So demon cannot bow before me.
My God, I'm finished. It was about me.
I tried because it's one. So I said, walk out. See them turning. But this one is not really.
We got that beast out. Somebody was taking it and he saw the beast come out. It was so serious that when I told her, take them to go and sleep, the beast followed us. At some point, I wanted to enter my car. I said, no, let me follow you people. Because when we got the girl back, she was unconscious. When she got up, she told me that when she looks at me, she becomes weak. That there were other people praying, that she was ready to default. But when she looks at me, I said, look, that means I'm somewhere. That one encouraged me, because when I was casting the thing out, I was frustrated. I said, what kind of thing is this? And I told her, take them. So I followed them. The beast followed behind us. How can you cast me out? Looking for who to touch. And he hit again. And the girl collapsed. While we are singing there, she get hotel room, she collapsed. I'm the one that carried her and took her, kept her on the bed. Her name is Jane. I said, Jane, in the name of Jesus, I call you back now, in the name of Jesus, come back. And she said she was already standing on the line, and she heard her name. She said, I hope you know when somebody stands on line, it's going on. Yeah. So she heard her name and she started running back. And then she coughed. Yet, I say, the girl is now where? I say, come. She said she wants to go to church. Which stupid church? Which church now? I told her where? It's not my business. You have your life. Me? I don't need members. I'm not a pastor. I don't have time for looking for members. If it's just three of you that are here, I will still preach like this. We are not driven by members. There are days where we won't look for members. It's coming, my friend. So Jesus does not waste time with people. He turns and tells you, these are my condition. If you are not like this, you are not my disciple. You are something else. So in Antioch, those guys, they said they were Christ-like. They behaved so much like Jesus that the unbelievers called them Christians. It's not church that gave themselves Christians. It's the world around them that looked at them and said, these people are Christ-like Christians. It's the world that called them Christians. So Jesus gave 5 conditions. He said, you don't just, discipleship is not by confession. There are conditions you must meet. If you don't meet those conditions, you are not my disciple. You can be claiming that you are my disciple, but you are not. The only way I assess my disciples is that I put them into a scale and check, what are those conditions? Number one, you know, I will give you scriptures to all of them. I will show you scriptures. I'm not making it up. If you see the word if, is a word that communicates condition. So when I say, if you are willing and obedient, what will happen? You will eat the good of the lamb. It's a condition. Meaning, if you are not obedient, stop claiming that blessing. It's not by confession. There's a key to it. It's willingness and obedience. So you will see those, you see that word in the Bible, Jesus using it. If you cannot be my disciple, he used it. If you are not like this, you cannot be be my disciple? Why? Let's look at it. That's in Luke chapter 14. That's in Luke chapter 14. So that's what we call them, five ifs of discipleship. Five ifs of discipleship. But I'm not sure I will show you up to five, oh, because of the time. I'm looking at the time. Verse 25, Luke chapter 14. Verse 25. He said, now a crowd followed him, and he turned and said to them. So one thing you should know about pastors. Listen, look up, look up, look up. One thing you should know about, I said look up. Yes. One thing you should know about pastors is that they like crowd. If pastor calls church now and only five people are there, you know he will be discouraged. Just wow. Sometimes they will not take out the annoyance on the five people that came. You people are not doing evangelism. You people are not doing evangelism. Is this how we grow church? They're not frustrated. And at the end of the day, they've given offering. And he has calculated everybody gave 20 naira. It's 100 naira. Say, this church is not, you people don't know anything. It's crowd. So, because of this love for crowd, there are churches that are full to the brim, but they are not telling them the truth. Because if you tell them the truth, they will leave. That's how we got there. Love for crowd. As long as I don't tell them the truth, I am seeing offering of 100,000 every week. I think that's nice. That's how we run ministry. They will not tell you. You don't do ministry preaching like this. I'm sure they have told pastor. He told me one day. You don't do ministry preaching like this. You won't go far. What is the elder trying to tell you? Is that you don't tell people truth like this. You will scare them away. I don't care. That's why I say, God, I won't do ministry depending on people's money. I do it with my money. That's why I need money. That's why I'm working. My dear pastor, this will be the last time we'll do fundraising for any program. I told him this will be the last time. We'll just inform people. They don't bring the money. We'll go and arrange the money. Me will provide. Me, I will bring the money. I don't care. You see this fundraising we are doing is paining my heart. That people are talking every day, testifying every day. When you talk about money, they don't comment, they just shift. Today, some people just shifted. And some people started coming in one by one. After too many messages, it has ended. Hear it now, and hear it well. It has ended. Anyway, so people like crowd. So the best way to keep crowd is don't tell them the truth. Entice them. Oh, this is your year of divine provision. Amen. God is looking for somebody in this crowd. I see cars coming. I see cars coming. I see the key of a house. I see the key of a house is being handed over to somebody. And the Lord took me in a vision. And I saw businesses. Shut up, false prophet. That's what you are. You are a liar. The truth is not in you. And the person is lifting up holy hands. He's crying. Oh God, why did you choose to remember me this year? I've suffered enough. And you remember me. Kai, this is a man of God. He's a fool. So he gave conditions. So you see what happened in that verse. They say, crowd followed him. But Jesus is not like some pastors that will keep them for 1 year, petting them. He told them the truth immediately. He turned and said to them, there was nothing like, let's see the offering first before we know. He turned and said to them, if, you see that word, if anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and does not hate his mother and does not hate his wife, they're asking me to hate my wife, and does not hate his children, and does not hate his brothers, and does not hate his sisters, yes, and his own life also. They say that person cannot be my disciple. You see, there's a problem here. There's a problem here. Okay. This might be a little bit confusing because he's saying hate. How do you expect me to hate my wife? But I've taken vow to love. How can you be asking me to hate my wife? But I also want to be your disciple. What are you saying, Lord? Let's look at it in Matthew. Because some woman saw it. Ah! Jesus is teaching people to hate. You are not a man of God. Matthew chapter 10. I don't know if it's verse 19. What's that verse? Verse 37. Loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. This is what he's trying to say. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his own cross, this one, he who does not hate himself, carry your cross is what he means by hating yourself. What is own and follow after me is not worthy of me. This is one condition of discipleship. What is it? Priority, commitment. Jesus is saying, I must be first in your life before your wife. But that is what you want as a person. He's not asking for too much. Echidima, he's not asking for too much. Do you want to get married to your husband and his mother will be first in his life before? How many of you want that? Why do you want to be first in the life of a man you did not give birth to? And the mother that gave birth to him and raised him up. Because a mother was arguing over the scripture. How can you tell my son? They ask her, you want to be first in your husband's life? You are not his mother. The person talking is the person that created him. His creator. You know the problem we have with Christianity? When it's about your mother, you will deny the church. If they say there is PMP and your mother is in hospital, can you come? Even when there is something only you can do, many people will leave it to suffer. Knowing that only them, it was only you that could do this thing, and doing it could have helped us reach all these souls. But your mother was sick, you left God and went for your mother. That's what he's saying here. That's why I say, if it's kingdom, I don't care who died. Jesus will tell you, let the dead bury their dead. There's nothing like I went for a wedding and there was sonship conference. There's nothing like that. I don't care who is doing the wedding. You are not worthy of. You cannot. The word is cannot. Cannot. Is your wife that is one dear friend that is taking you away from God? Is football match, social media, and you're a disciple? No, you are not. You are something else, not a disciple. There's another one. That one is in John chapter 8. Oh God, look at time. After this one, I will close. Should I give you the five? John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I think that's 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if the condition comes, you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. What is he saying here? He is saying that one condition to be my disciple is that you need to have a word foundation. You must know the Bible. One of the problems we have in this generation is biblical illiteracy. People don't know scripture. They only know what I can stay here and quote. I go to some services and tell you that there are things in the Bible. I asked my disciples something one day. Okay, I know Chidima is a sister. I know you are the sister. Which other lady is here? My sister, you now. If Pastor comes now, and come and say he wants to sleep with you. With all this prayer you have prayed for years, all this rolling on the floor, shouting, you know, those things don't enter my eye. Those things don't enter my eye. You can hit this thing, you know. I don't care how those. Let me see you live your life. Then I will know how far. He comes. And you are an obedient daughter of Pastor. And now he wants to sleep with you. He said God told him to sleep with you. I want to. Will you say yes or no? I don't know the answer to that question. This is why pastors are sleeping with their members. They don't know the Bible. You can't find Jesus doing it. They have followed the man of God. It's the man of God they know. They don't know the Bible. They don't know scripture. So when the man of God is now possessed, they don't know enough to confront the man of God. They fall for God when Satan can take hold. I mean, they fall for Satan if Satan can use a man of God they respect. They don't know the Bible. They say, if you are like that, you are not my disciple. You can't be a disciple that don't know the manual. The Bible is the manual. And the woman, they told the story of a woman that they are looking for fruit of the womb, and what is it called? They went to invite that whatever to come and help her, to come and pray for her, prophet. The reason false prophets are thriving is because people don't know the Bible. You see, you go to Nay, you see mushroom churches everywhere, and they are filled up. Tomorrow you hear a word of them. And they are filled up everywhere. And you see people there. There's a pastor now in Anambra State. I don't know where he is. That is slapping people and hitting people. I heard there is one that happened in Kenya or wherever. In Malawi, he gave people a jig to drink. And half of the service, they died. Told them it's blessed jig. And these people went to school. They use jig to wash clothes, and they drank it because a man of God said so. The woman invited the prophet or whatever it's called, king. He got into the house by 11:30 p.m. The husband is a lawyer, dressed dirty, and he said that whatever they have to do will start by 12. So they gave him food, entertained him by 12. He told the husband, you stay here. I will take madam up. That's where the prayer has to be done. Because what is causing you barrenness is in your room. Lawyer, stay down. And they carried his wife up. And they told the woman, that when I sleep with you, I will suck out the demon. And they slept with the wife. Is biblical illiteracy. People don't know anything. Anything the prophet says is what they do. Because they don't know the Bible. People don't read their Bibles. People don't read their Bibles. The story was told of the other girl. He was in Lagos, they said, and this happened last year. You know, she's a business girl, and in the market, they had people that were prospering. This set of girls, they were prospering. They were making sales. They were in charge of the market. And she goes to them and says, help me. She says, I will help you. We will take you to our madam. And they took her to the beach by 12 midnight. The fact that somebody wants to help you as a Christian and is taking you to water by 12 midnight should have even let you know that something is wrong with that. But you don't know anything. You don't know your Bible. You don't read the Bible. You don't know the ways of God. So somebody can manufacture anything and tell you that's the way God wants to walk. You should know the way of God. So that when you know the one that is not, you can be able to sense that this one is not God. And when they got to the water, they did the incantation, and a pathway opened in the water. And she followed them. This is believer. Believer, see the woman they are sleeping with. You are committing fornication. They told you they will suck out the demon. Married woman. She's going to madam, they go to church. What kind of church is that? That does not teach people the truth. Believer, she entered. And she was unlucky. Because when the queen came out and asked, who is this? And they said, that's why we are here. We brought her because she said she needs help. He said, she looks like somebody I know. Are you not part of those that be raining fire on my kingdom? Are you not part of those that be mobilizing? And you have the mind to come to ask me for help? You know what? All of you that came, whatever you came for, you have it. But this one, she's not going back to earth. I'm keeping her here. And she died. It was one of our friends at, you know, became G3 and went and gave the testimony. And the church she was worshiping gathered. I was calling, we call her back, Lord. We call her back. For where? You have members. You can't be my disciple. I say, me, Chuka. And you follow people down the water. No. Not to talk of being the disciple of Jesus. It's called Word Foundation. There's a book on that. Word Foundation. Scriptural Foundation. It says, the man that listens to my teaching and do them is like somebody that built his house on top of a rock. He has solid foundation. You can't shake him with doctrine. I don't care what is being preached. I know the word of God. And you know what? I know the will of God. So I know that this year is not the year of abundant blessing. Whoever is prophesying it is a liar. There's not abundance. Not that there won't be blessing. That's not where God is going. God does not care about people's prosperity now. He has made it available. That's not where he's going. Where he is now is at the point of nations. He's about to do something that will steer up a lot of things to society. He's looking for point men. You know what is going on in the realm of the spirit? Eh? You know what is going on in the realm of the spirit? There are already soldiers standing. This is why we are doing some of these things. There are people standing already. These are point men of God. God is recruiting them. Recruiting them. And somehow, the last man is here. You know what's going on now? After some hours, somebody comes and stands. Another point man. After some hours, somebody comes and stands. That's what is going on in the realm of the spirit. And we are bringing in more men. More men. By the time it's complete, there will be an invasion into the society. People will move. Boom. And the nations cannot they cannot recover from that thing. It will be an upturn. Every angle of society, every facet of society, there will be men that are so anointed, that are so heavy, that can take down the kingdom of darkness in 1 minute. And there won't be one of them. They're going to be soldiers. You see them in Joel chapter 2 verse 1. It's an army. It's an army that has never been known before. That's what is going on now. There's another condition. That condition is love. I think I read it there. We read it already. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. I think that's in John chapter 14.
Let's see if we can read John chapter 14. Verse 15.
If you love me, keep my commandments. I think 15:14 will give us something else. You are my disciples, my friends, if you do what I command you. Another scripture in that verse 14. In that verse 14, I think is in verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And if you go down, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode in him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You don't love him. The message is saying here is, if what is pushing your Christianity is fear to go to hell, don't love him. You are in church because you don't want to go to hell. You are in church because what should be pushing your Christianity, what should be motivating you is that somebody loved you so much that he died for you. In response, you do everything. If my wife now is doing things for me because she's afraid that she might go back to her father's house, that thing is no marriage. Going to her father's house should not even appear in her reason for doing anything. She does everything out of love. She does everything out of love. I do everything for God out of love. He said, anyone that functions that way is a disciple indeed. I think I have to stop here, but I will give you one more. There is the one of hearing from God. You are not a disciple if you can't hear from God. How do you obey what you don't know? That's why you need to know the Bible. How do you obey if you can't hear? Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. What did he say? I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If any man hear my voice and those what opens the door, I will come. That means if you don't hear, you can't open and he won't come. You are not a disciple. There are a lot of them. I think I've given you four. Let me give you one more. There's the if. Abiding. That one, the reward is the presence of God, the glory of God. When, how do you carry the presence of God? There's a condition, because you can't call yourself a disciple if you know. Victor was talking about this, you know. Let's read John chapter 15. I think he said something there. John chapter 15 verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you shall desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. This is another condition.
And that's the last one I won't talk about. I'll talk about that one and we'll close. Acts chapter 5 verse 32. To see what they said there. 32. What did he say? And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who do what? Who do what? The Holy Spirit. The glory of God is the Holy Spirit upon the life of a man. Evident. And the final if of discipleship is what we read in John chapter 15 verse 8. It's called multiplication. Raising other disciples. What did John chapter 15 verse 8 say again? If you are not fruitful. Somebody read it for me. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So my brothers and my sisters, like I said when I started, you have to produce more. What's your name? Chidema. You have to produce more people that can love God the way you do. People that can sacrifice for God the way you do. People that can seek God, that can seek the kingdom the way you do. This must define your life. You must give yourself targets. That's what I give to my people. You must give yourself targets. How many days, how many people in a month? This is what you present on the judgment seat of Christ. The souls that you reached. Everything you do every day must be geared towards how many people can I get for God? What is the implication of this for the kingdom? I don't care about your vision, what you saw, and the rest. If I can't see souls attached to that, I don't care about the miracles you did. Those things don't enter my head. It doesn't move my head. There's the kind of anointing that comes on me, and you see those dimensions. So I'm not confused by your grace. I'm not confused by your... All these men of God just came. People fell under the anointing. The whole ladies, the whole gather, they have problems. They need counseling. I go for ministration and they come and say, no, go and talk to the Holy Spirit. No, I don't cancel people. All this, because the power of God moves now. You want to come and see me. Wasting time with people. And some stupid men of God, they put themselves in that position. They think they are now God. They are giving people counseling. You need to hear, you see one tide who the anointing has rested upon. Now he can make people fall under power. And after talking, a girl comes and opens up a family problem. And the idiot cannot handle it. Forgive me for using that word, because some of them are really idiots. She opens up a foundational problem in the family that is beyond him. He begins to tell him things he can't handle. Things that are bigger than his experience in God. And then, out of lack of wisdom, lack of information, they give you some stupid counsel. People are moving around because they don't know God. They don't know their Bible. They don't know their scriptures. A disciple is a condition that you will make other disciples. Because those disciples are the what you'll be rewarded for. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. That thing works according to the number of souls you brought into the kingdom. That's your work. Go ye into the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And I will always say, preaching means so many things, because that instruction was given to 12 people, or 350 people, I don't know, maybe 120 people, whatever number they were there. But I only saw Peter preaching.
I saw Paul preaching. I saw James writing books. I saw John writing books. What of Matthew? You know, there's a disciple that is called Bartholomew. He didn't deny Jesus. He wasn't part of those that denied Jesus. What about him? What of Andrew? The Bible said all of them paid the price. They all finished well. As a matter of fact, you see 24 elders in heaven. 12 of those 24 are the 12 patriarchs from the Old Testament. People like Abraham and the 12 sons of Jacob. Those are the 12 patriarchs. Of course, people like Abraham, they're even on another level. And you see that's 12 patriarchs from the Old Testament, 12 apostles from the New Testament. Together, they are the 24 elders. If the 12 of them are sitting there, it means they all paid the price. But I did not see Bartholomew preaching. I didn't see Andrew preaching. We don't even know they are disciples because we didn't see them preaching. So nobody knows about them. Actually, some of them went back to fishing. But they didn't go to fish for their mouth. They now went to fishing to bring in souls. Before, the problem is that they were going back to fishing for their own sustenance. Now they went back to fishing. That's it. Some of them went back to fishing. And what they were fishing are men. Anybody that now comes to catch fish, that same thing Jesus was doing with them, they were doing it with other people and doing the exact same miracle. Bible did not record it. That's why you don't know. Thomas is one of them. The doubting Thomas. He went to India where people were fishing. And that's where he did a miracle and he saved the crowd. They didn't record it in the Bible. If you think it's only preaching and that's why you are not called, you want to preach, you are carrying megaphone doing money cry, you are threatening people that they will go to hell, you are saying things that cannot change any life. I asked Father that you find men here who will love you. Find men here who you can use, who you can put your hands on. Men who can henceforth be an accurate representation of the will of God. Men who will not just be hearers, who will not just those that know, those that are talking. They won't be part of this crowd that are making noise everywhere, putting posters everywhere, making noise, misleading people. They have nothing good to offer to the kingdom. They cannot be part of those people. These are men that you use for the reaping, for the harvest of souls. Because there is a harvest coming, my friends. There is a harvest coming. These are men that you use to bring in this harvest. These are armies of the living God. That when they move, none of them shall break their ranks. They move and nothing will pass them. The Bible says nothing will pass their attention. These are Davids. These are Elijahs. These are men that have that anointing that rested even on Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Ah, God, eyes to pass. Find such men here. Ah, they go. Pretos Kabadin, Bobohogoba, Etukupab, Pais to Kupadiash, Infradesk. God is in need of men, accurate men, men that can abandon father, men that can abandon mother. I did not have time. I would have showed you the goals of discipleship. Men that can abandon everything and run after him. I have seen those men here. I have seen them here. Father, I ask that you put your hands on them. Jesus. Five men more. Ah, capo kialesh. Ipratico bandedos. Jesus is in charge of movers. Jesus is in charge of movers. After today, when guys come around you, you don't just tell them you are not interested. You use your beauty to bring in souls for the kingdom. That thing God gave you, beauty, is for a purpose, my friends. You are not beautiful to be turning away guys. Ah, you are beautiful because that beauty will attract unbelievers for you to disciple. You don't have to mess up yourself with them. You don't have to give in to their demands. You can still keep them and turn them to Christ. You are not meant to be admired alone. You are meant for your beauty to give glory to God, to bring his souls for him.
Somebody asking God for more of you.
somebody keeps asking, oh God, give me more, 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 give me more to you, Lord. I pray for such a person that the presence of God will be manifested to you tangibly, 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 tangible manifestation of the presence, tangible manifestation of the presence, tangible manifestation of the presence, tangibly, 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 my God, tangibly. Shall set you free. The freedom comes when you obey the truth. Freedom lies ahead of those that obey. Knowledge is not enough. Knowledge is good, but it's not enough. There's obedience, my friends. There's obedience, my friends. There's obedience, my friends. There's obedience. Thank you.
horrendous. Lacking. I ask for the release of wisdom upon this man
It's the wisdom. You don't just gather people. Sometimes you don't know what to tell them. Sometimes you don't even know where to go from here. But there's a wisdom that comes per time. There's a wisdom. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have taught you. And lo, I am with you always, even all to the end. There is wisdom per time. There is anointing per time. There is the word per time. If God is not with you, you can't disciple people. You cannot. Because there are times when all you have learned will fail you. But the Holy Ghost, I know times when people have come. I know one of those times when a lady came and everything about her life was disorganized. She had so many complaints. She was crying. There are a lot of problems. And she was just kneeling there. And I know anything I will say now has to make sense. Anything I will say now has to provide a solution. And I hook it. And I say, Holy Spirit, I need wisdom for this one. Because one of the special ministries of the Holy Spirit is that he's a comforter. He has a special ministry to comfort people. And what he does is that he finds mouths to put in those words of comfort, and is imparted on people. And only those that are in the business of counseling can gain access to that kind of wisdom. You can't find it if you are not counseling anybody. You can't find it if you are not discipling anybody. And I asked the Holy Spirit, and I received the rhema. And the moment I spoke, she is healed. There is a healing. From today, Lord, through the mouths of this man, you will heal wounded souls. Through the mouths of this man, you will heal sicknesses, emotional sicknesses. Some people are going to be dumped in their relationships. Some people are going to have heartbreaks. Some people will even lose loved ones, and they will enter a state of discomfort, that state where nothing can comfort them. And Lord, you will find, they will find their ways. They will link up with one of these men, and there will be wisdom to heal their soul. This will be the point of contact to get so many souls. These are the things that will begin to happen amongst you. I give you praise. I give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we are afraid. I think we'll leave off. Pastor is not here today to take over. Victor, I will give you to close. I think we will give offering. Do we share the grace? Or stretch. We'll pray, Abby. Oh yeah. I ask, Father, that every prayer request here, as many of them that we add, that will make meaning to your kingdom, I pray that they will receive answers. I ask, Lord, that every prayer request that is going to be instrumental to massive harvest of souls, any prayer request here that is going to be instrumental to bringing souls to your kingdom, even if whatever they have asked, but that is going to propel whatever to happen for the kingdom to receive expansion, I pray, Father, as we pray, as we stretch forth our hand, we release answers to those prayers. In the name of Jesus, God does not answer prayer to satisfy your carnal needs. The prayer he answers are prayers that will add value to his kingdom. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not hanging in limbo. It is in contest with thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So give me this bread so that I can keep making sure that your kingdom comes and your will is done on earth, Jesus. Thank you, Ancient of Days, for in Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely, God bless you. I will see you in PRP.